handout number four on our study and authority. Okay, James. And can everyone hear me? Okay, thank you, Denise. Okay. And as we begin this evening, Randy, would you kindly direct our minds in prayer?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for another day of the breath of life. Thank you so much for the opportunity you give us to gather together to study your word. We pray, Father, that you bless us in this effort. Help us, Father, to understand the things that we read, the things that we study. Help us to apply your truth to our lives so that we might be shining examples of those we need. We pray, Father, that you strengthen our faith and forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, let's all do remember Mickey as he's conducting a gospel meeting this week in Jonesboro, Arkansas, at the Stone Street congregation. Let's remember to pray for success of that meeting and for a safe return trip for Mickey and Donna. Okay. As we customarily do, let's review a few verses that we've looked at and in particular, in the first three lessons of the study on authority. If I wanted to to cite a verse that teaches us that we shouldn't think of men above the written word, what verse would I go to? Chris? 1 Corinthians 4:6. Okay. Not to think of men above that which is written. And if I wanted to cite a verse about what we teach, what we practice, what we do in word or deed, what verse would I cite? Randy.
Colossians 3:17.
Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And what verse teaches us? Let's see. What verse teaches us the principle about not adding to the Word of God? Let's see. Katie B., do you remember that verse? Let's see. I mean, I think we need to get some of the younger members of class to participate also. Emily? Do you remember that verse? Danny, help her out. Which verse? A verse that teaches the principle that we do not add to the Word of God. What? Okay. Did you say it was Paul? Don't believe so. How about Revelation 22:18? Okay. And let's see. Where would I go if I wanted to look at some passages that teach us that we're not today to look to the Old Testament as a source of authority? Randy?
Galatians 2:21.
Okay. I think you brought that one up about 3 weeks ago or so, as I recall, in class. Danny? Danny, let me give you a hint. Are there any in the book of Colossians?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there one?
Well, maybe around verses 8, 9, and 10. Okay. And Danny, how about reading for us Colossians 2 and verses 14 through 16? Okay. And how about reading Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 14 through 16? Okay, we see there that the law of ordinances was abolished, that the church is going to be a reconciled body where Jew and Gentile are reconciled together. The middle wall of partition is broken down. The law of ordinances is abolished. So the Old Testament is not the source of authority today. Okay. And Pardon me? Okay. Would you like to read that for us, Bruce? Okay. Okay. So now on our topic on Christ, Jesus as the source of authority today, as set forth in the New Testament, what is a verse I would go to if I wanted to demonstrate that Jesus is a source of authority today, that we are to hear Him today? Randy? Well, okay. Okay. It wasn't what I was thinking, no. I was thinking of Matthew 17.
Yeah, you can go there too.
How about John 12 and 48? What does John 12 and 48 say? How about some of our young people? Can any of you help us out? What does John 12 and 48 say?
He who rejects me, not receive my word, hath that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day.
Okay, the words which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We see a standard of authority there, don't we? That the words which Jesus has spoken are going to be the standard by which we're going to be judged. Randy?
It's not just the word that Jesus spoke. He's just got through saying that every word that he speaks comes from the Father. So what he's saying is we'll be judged by God's word.
Yes, we're going to be judged by God's word, by the plan of God which Jesus carried out or executed.
I just mean we're not going to be judged only by the red letters in your red letter edition.
No. No, and we're going to talk about that some tonight. Okay. Pardon me? Mm-hmm. All right, now in lesson number four, we've seen that, as has been brought up this evening already by Randy, that in Matthew 28:18 we see that Jesus has been given all authority. And who is accepted? Okay. Did everyone hear that? God the Father is accepted? Okay. Now, Jesus has been given all authority, the Father being accepted. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 27. And as we studied last week, we see in the New Testament, we see a self or voluntary subjection of Jesus in the Godhead. Jesus carries out, executes the plan of God. And as we brought out, a very important verse to remember is Romans 1 and 4. What does Romans 1 and 4 teach us? Let's put this one down on our list of verses to memorize. Randy, do you have that?
Romans 1, 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the middle of sin, so we'll take it from the top.
Okay.
Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart from the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of the descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead.
Okay.
The Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, so Jesus, Randy, Jesus was declared to be what?
Son of God.
The Son of God by virtue of his resurrection. Jesus is a fulfillment of the seed promise made to Abraham. Now, Jesus was raised up, as we see in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, and about verses 30 through 36, raised up to sit on the throne of David, being declared both Lord and Christ. Now, so Jesus is the one who fulfills, he's the fulfillment of all these prophecies. And what did Paul write? What did the Holy Spirit write through Paul in Ephesians 1? And verses 22, 23, and in Colossians 1 and 18. What is Christ also? Okay, Christ is the head of the church. Okay. He has all authority. He is the head of the church. And the church is the body. Christ is the head of the body. Christ is the head, and we are individually members of the body. And this is what Paul writes about in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is it not? And we're all functioning members of the body. Starting with about verse 12, down through about verse 27. So we have to work in harmony as members of the body of Christ, as only as we're directed by the head. But yet, how does Christ speak to us today? Through His Word. Okay? And if it is the Word of Christ, then it's authoritative, is it not? Okay. So, in lesson four, what really the second half or the second page and the third page of your lessons is really about is we see through Scripture that Christ is the one who was foretold. He is the one who has been given all authority. He is the head of the church. And Christ does what? He chooses his apostles, doesn't he? And by the way, where do we find the qualifications to be an apostle? Acts chapter 1. Well, we see in particular in verse what? 22, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Okay? So Christ chose, Christ's apostles were witnesses of the resurrection of the resurrected Jesus. So Jesus selected his apostles, and then he sent what? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to do what? Randy?
John 16:13.
Okay. Into all truth. The apostles were guided into all truth. And by the way, what does the Koine Greek word for inspiration mean? God breathed. Okay. So Jesus selects his apostles, sends the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all truth. And what did the apostles do with that truth? They wrote it down. Okay. Can anyone think of a verse that... Can anyone cite a verse that would teach us to follow the words which the apostles wrote down? Second, what? That's a hint. Randy? Not the one you were thinking of?
I was going to say Galatians, but not second Galatians.
No.
I was going to say the one that Daniel said earlier, Galatians 1:6. And if anybody preaches a different gospel than we preach to you, let him be accursed.
Okay. Okay.
That's not what you were preaching
for. No. Actually, about the written word is what I'm fishing for. The second, what? Well, what does 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and about verse 15 say? Okay. Hold fast to the traditions which you were taught from us, either by word of mouth or by letter. By letter. So these letters that we have in the New Testament are what? They're authoritative. So we see the chain, don't we? Christ selects his apostles. The Holy Spirit is sent to guide the apostles into all truth. The apostles preach the word and they write down the word. Let's see. David?
Well, when you read it, it becomes scripture, and of course, that him, the knowledge of scripture, by the inspiration of God, and his prophets, and his truth. Well, that would be all scripture.
Okay. And along with that, I must be thinking of Second Peter, not First Peter. Second Peter, first chapter and verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. Chris?
2 Peter 3:16, where Peter then equates Paul's writings, he refers to them in essence as scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does, saying, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Okay, so, then we see how through this chain that these letters, as a number of people in the religious world would teach today, these are not just love letters. These are authoritative letters. These are the God-breathed, inspired words. These are the words of God. This is really a lot of the point of lesson 4. Now, as these letters are from God, these words are from God. we see that everything that we do, according to Colossians 3:17, everything that we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. The word name there, I believe, coming from the Greek word namos, meaning by the authority of. So, on the third page of your lesson this evening, let's review we did see that we are no longer under the Old Testament. We saw that in the second chapter of Ephesians, didn't we? Because, and in particular, the third chapter of Ephesians really defines what the mystery of Christ is. The mystery of Christ being that the Gentiles were going to be brought in. The Gentiles and the Jews were going to be reconciled together in one body. We see that in the second chapter of Ephesians, that the church was going to be a reconciled body. And that the ordinances under the old law were going to be abolished. The enmity between the two was going to be abolished. The enmity between Jew and Gentile. Okay. Let's see. Bruce, could you read for us Galatians 3, 24 and 25? Okay, after that faith has come, and we know, according to Jude 3, that that faith was delivered, right? So the faith has come. We're no longer under the schoolmaster, under the tutor, no longer under the old law. Now let's see, Randy, what is the site that you like to use, Galatians 2 and 21? Could you read that for us?
I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly.
Right. Christ died in vain if righteousness came through the law. Okay. So we're not under the Old Testament. God speaks to us today through His Son. Let's see. Jim, could I get you to read John 17 and 8? Okay, we see there that God speaks to us by His Son, by Jesus. So, we're no longer under the Old Testament. We are to hear Jesus today. Jesus is the one who has been given all authority. And if we would turn to 1 John, first chapter, and look at the first three verses, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. So we see here, in these three verses in 1 John, we see what? That Christ did speak through His apostles. Now, let's see. Now, the matter of the Holy Spirit. Randy, you brought up John 16 and 13. How about reading John 14 and 26? Okay. So even the memory of the apostles was going to be inspired. Their memory wasn't going to be fallible. And let's see, let's turn over to another verse to notice on this is Galatians, the first chapter. And we'll note what Paul said about what he was teaching. In verses 11 and 12 of the first chapter of Galatians, we'll see what the apostle, born out of due time, as he described himself, wrote, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Okay. So, what Paul taught was by revelation, by inspiration. Okay. Now, we saw that in the first chapter of Acts, and about verse 22, that the apostles were witnesses of the resurrected Christ. Now, Paul was a witness of the resurrected Christ, was he not? As a matter of fact, let's see, doesn't Paul have something to say about that? In, I want to say it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but is it 2 Corinthians chapter 9? No. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? Paul says, have I not seen Jesus? And we studied about that quite a bit in our class on Acts, didn't we? The three different accounts about the events that transpired when Paul was on the road to Damascus. Randy?
Also in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, it says, "And last of all, as it were to one untimely born, he appeared to me also."
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Saul of Tarsus, Paul, was a witness of the resurrected Christ. Yes.
And the last one. Last of all. Last of all.
Last of all.
Paul's the last one to see. He hasn't appeared to anybody since then.
Including Joseph Smith. Good point.
Paul said he was the last one. Last of all.
Okay. Now, okay, now your lesson indicates that when the apostles spoke, they represented Christ, and their word must be received as the word of Christ. Okay, now we have already noted John 12:48, that where Christ says, "The words which I have spoken will judge you on the last day." But Randy, could I get you to read John 13 and 20?
John 13, verse 20?
Right.
"Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whoever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me."
Okay, "he who receives who I send receives me." Okay, so if you reject who I send, you reject me, don't you? If you reject the apostles, you reject Christ. Okay, so if you reject Christ, you're rejecting God the Father.
Especially don't hear the authority of the Word of God.
Okay, now, now let's note a few facts about the writings in the New Testament. On the last page of your lesson 4, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13 is quoted, but we've seen David Dixon, could I get you to read 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13? Okay, so the church at Thessalonica received the word from Paul as not from man, but as the word of God, the divine word of God. It's a complete message, as we saw in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We've been given everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Nothing has been left out. There is no latter-day revelation. There is no latter-day revelation because it's a final message. Jude 3, contend earnestly for thee faith which was once for all delivered. It was delivered some 1900 to 2000 years ago. It wasn't delivered again in, what was it, Randy, 1829? Right. The Word of God is the message of salvation. Romans 1 and 16. It is the message of salvation. After all, what did James write in James 1 and 22? Receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted Word of God, which is able to save your souls. And what did Paul write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians? I'm going to have to think of the chapter. I can remember the verse. It's verse 21. That it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. And it is an understandable, Randy? Oh, it is the first chapter, okay. It is verse 21, right? Okay. I don't think I've ever done that before. I can remember the verse and I couldn't remember the chapter. But it is an understandable message. As we've pointed out a lot in teaching here, the third chapter of Ephesians. And what? When Paul said to the Ephesians that when you read what I've written, you can understand my insight into what? Into the mystery of Christ. Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Al? How are we associated with the Ten Commandments today? Well, I think we could look in the New Testament and see that I think probably they all may be repeated with the exception of one. I mean, the one exception? To keep the Sabbath? I'll get with you after. I want you to, for lesson, you have questions on lesson four there. We're going to go over the questions next week.
you. We had a second bronchoscopy today looking for another biopsy of the lung. Because something we've seen on the x-rays that they want to find a biopsy, they did it a couple of days ago. Bronchoscopy.
It's time for us to begin this evening. If you would, please pick up a hymn book and turn to number 210, Alone at Eve, number 210. We'll sing all three verses. 210.
Scenes above, God.